Chapter 5. A line is drawn. Silver 3 down. Open book.
Your orders, Captain, came the vox from the ordnance deck.
Zadkiel sat back on his throne. The feeling of power was intoxicating. The battleship was his to command, like an extension of his body, as if the torpedo tubes and gun turrets were his hands. He could simply spread his fingers and will destruction on the enemy.
Hold, said Zadkiel.
The central view screen showed the closing vessels, a frigate with a strike cruiser in its wake. The frigate did not interest the word-bearer captain, but the cruiser was an entirely different prospect, fast, well-armed, and designed for precision attacks and boarding actions. It was painted in the livery of a thousand suns.
Magnus's brood, said Zadkiel idly.
Astride his command throne, he glanced at a supplementary screen that depicted a tactical readout of the ship. The Furious Abyss's archive had identified it as the Waning Moon. It had many battle honours and had followed the Thousand Suns Legion across half the galaxy, prosecuting the Great Crusade.
I have always admired their imagination.
Assault Captain Belanus was standing behind the command throne.
They're within range, sire.
There is no hurry, Captain, said Zadkiel. We should savour this moment.
Additional readings flicked up on the viewscreen. The waning moon was showing life signs equivalent to a full regiment of troops gathering at the boarding muster points.
Helmsmate Sakharov, open up a clandestine channel to the waning moon, Zadkiel ordered. At once, my lord, came the reply from deep inside the dark city of the bridge. After a moment, Sakharov added, Channel is secure. On screen.
The central image was replaced with a view of the waning moon's gilded bridge. The Astartes in the command throne, which was massively ornate and inset with numerous jewels and engraved runes, looked up in mild surprise. He had light brown skin and hooded eyes, with a face that spoke of discipline and resolve.
This is Captain Zadkiel addressing you from the Furious Abyss. Am I speaking to the captain of the waning moon? Asked Zadkiel. You are. I am Captain Multip of the Thousand Suns. Why have you not responded to our hails? No, Captain. I demand to know what this display of force means, Zadkiel said, unwilling to be interrogated by his brother Astartes. You have no authority here. Disengage at once.
I repeat, why have you not responded to our hails? And what do you know of the Fist of Macragge and its fate?
Motep was relentless and would not be cowed.
I do not appreciate your tone, brother. I know nothing of the vessel you speak of, Zadkiel replied. Now disengage.
I do not believe you, brother, said the Thousand Sun with certainty.
Zadkiel smiled mirthlessly.
Then I shall give you the truth. Great deeds are unfolding, Captain Motep. Lines will be drawn. Flame and retribution is coming, and those who are on the wrong side of that line will be burnt to ash.
Zadkiel paused for a moment, allowing his words to sink in. Motep remained impassive. The Thousand Suns were quite the experts at concealing their true emotions.
We are on a secure channel, Captain Motep, and the Legion of the Word have ever been supporters of your Lord Magnus. The events of Nicaea must rankle.
That got a reaction, near imperceptible, but it was there.
What are you suggesting, Word-bearer?
Hostility now. The icy reserve was thawing at the mention of what many in the Legion regarded as Magnus's trial, and what had happened at Nicaea was performed by a council in name only.
Lorgar and Magnus are brothers. So are we. What side of the line will you stand on, Motep?
The retort was curt. The Thousand Sun's face was set like stone.
Prepare to be boarded, he said.
As you wish, replied the word-bearer.
The vox link to the waning moon was cut.
Master Malfourion, said Zadkiel levelly.
The ordnance deck flashed up on the viewscreen, a deep metal canyon beneath the prow, crowded with sweating ratings hauling massive torpedoes.
My lord.
Fire!
A spread of torpedoes flew from the Furious Abyss towards the waning moon, which had positioned itself before the massive ship's prow. Starboard, a bank of laser batteries lit up at once, and beams of crimson light stabbed into the void. They struck the Fearless, and the frigate was broken apart in a bright and silent flurry of blossoming explosions.
Throne of Terror!
Cestus could not believe what he was seeing through the Wrathful's viewscreen. Powerless and benumbed, he watched the fearless fragment like scrap as a firestorm ravaged it, hungrily devouring the oxygen on board and turning it into a raging furnace. It was over in seconds, and after the conflagration had died, all that remained was a blackened ruin. Then the torpedoes hit the waning moon.
"Sharks in the void!" cried helmsmate Ramkett
from the sensorium on the bridge of the waning moon. The crew were all at battle stations, carefully monitoring the actions of the word-bearer ship. The lights in the elliptical chamber were dimmed, as was protocol for combat situation, and the tiny blips that represented the ordnance launched by the Furious Abyss glowed malevolently on one of the bridge's tactical display slates.
"Evasive manoeuvres! Turrets to full! Withdraw boarding parties to damage control stations!"
Motep scowled and gripped the lip of the command console in front of him. Shields were useless against torpedoes. He had to hope their hull armor could bear the brunt of the Furious Abyss's opening salvo.
"At your command, my lord,"
came Ramkett's reply. Warning runes flashed on multiple screens at once, presaging the missile impacts. Motep turned again to his helmsmate.
"Open a channel to the Wrathful,"
he ordered, as the first of the torpedoes hit, sending damage klaxons screaming as a massive shudder ran through the bridge.
"Motep, what's happening out there?"
asked Cestus over the ship-to-ship vox array.
"The Fearless is gone. We are taking fire and attempting to evade. The word-bearers have turned on their own, Cestus."
A burst of crackling static held in the air for the moment, combining with a din of relayed orders and cogitator warnings. When he finally spoke, the Ultramarine's voice was grim.
"Engage and destroy."
"Understood."
The bridge of the Wrathful moved to battle stations, Kaminska barking rapid orders to her subordinates with well-drilled precision and calm. The professionalism of the Saturnine Fleet's officer class was evident as the weapons were brought to bear and Shield's focus prowered.
"How shall we respond, Lord Astartes?"
she asked once they were at a state of readiness. Cestus fought a cold knot of disbelief building in the pit of his stomach as he watched the spread of blips on the tactical display move into attack positions. The word-bearers have turned on their own. Motep's words were like a hammer blow. His words, the words that Cestus had spoken earlier on the training deck to Thestor and Antigues of brotherhood and the solidarity of the legions, suddenly turned to ash in his mouth. He had admonished his brothers for even voicing mild dissent against a fellow legionnaire, and now here they were embattled against them. No, they were not world-eaters, they were not the murderous bloodletters that Antigues had described, they were the devout servants of the Emperor. Ostensibly, they were his most vehement and staunchest supporters. How far did this treachery go? Was it confined merely to this ship, or did it permeate the entire legion? Surely, with a vessel crafted by the Mechanicum, it had the sanction of Mars. Could they be aware of the word-bearer's defection? Such a thing could not be countenanced. With these questions running through his mind like a fever, Cestus could not believe what was happening. It did not feel real. From disbelief, anger and a desire for retribution was born.
"Break that ship in two,"
Cestus said, full of righteous conviction. He could feel the ripples of shock and disbelief passing through the non-Astartes as the full horror of what they had witnessed sank in. He would show them that the true servants of the Emperor did not tolerate traitors, and any act of heresy would be summarily dealt with. Cestus's feelings and the ramifications of what had transpired would have to wait and be rationalized later.
"Relay astropathic messages to McCrag and Terra at once," the Ultramarine added. "The Sons of Lorgar will be held to account for this. Admiral Kaminska, you have the helm."
"As you wish, my lord,"
Kaminska said, trying her best to maintain her cold composure in the face of such developments. She swiveled the command throne as the screens around her shifted to show every angle around the ship.
"Captain Vorloff, are you with me?"
"Say the word, Admiral."
Vorloff's enthusiasm was obvious, despite the static flickering through the fleet's vox array.
"Take the lead behind the waning moon. If they stay on the Astartes ship, swing up in front of them. Give them a bloody good broadside up the nose and scramble attack craft. Keep their gunners busy. I'll send what's left of our escorts with you. In the name of the Emperor."
"At your command, Admiral,"
replied Vorloff with relish.
"Main engines to full." All crew to battle stations. Watch my stern, Admiral, and the Boundless will pick this swine apart. In the name of the Emperor.
Mr. Castellan, Kaminska barked, terminating the Voxlink with the Boundless. The Rothful's Master of Ordnance appeared on screen, toiling ratings just visible behind him on the gun decks.
A lance salvo to their dorsal turret arrays and engines, if you please, said Kaminska. Load prow plasma torpedoes, but hold in reserve. I want something up our sleeve.
At your command, Admiral,
came the clipped response from the Master of Ordnance Castellan, who snapped a curt salute before the screen blanked. Cestus watched as the organized chaos of battle stations unfolded. Every crewman on the bridge had his own role to play, relaying orders, monitoring sensorium and view screens, or making minute adjustments to the ship's course. One of the tables on the bridge unfolded into a stellar map, where holographic simulacra were moved around to represent the relative positions of the ships in the fleet.
"Traitorous horses," snarled Bringa. "It'll be Lorga's head for this."
Cestus could see the hairs on the back of the Space Wolf's neck rise. In this fell mood, and with a dimmed battle station's gloom, he took on a feral aspect.
"Scuttle her, and I'll lead the Sons of Russ aboard," he growled darkly. "Let the wolves of Fenris gut her, and I'll tear out the beating heart myself."
Bringa hawked and spat a gobbet of phlegm onto the deck, as if what was transpiring in the void had left a bitter taste. There were a few raised eyebrows, but the wolf guard paid them no heed. Cestus's reply was terse.
"You'll get your chance,"
Bringa roared, baring his fangs.
"I can no longer sit idle,"
he snapped savagely, turning on his heel.
"The warriors of Russ will make ready at the boarding torpedoes. Do not make us wait long."
Cestus couldn't be certain if the last part was a request or a threat, but he was for once glad of the Wolfguard's departure. His mood, since they'd hit the void and encountered the Wordbearers, had grown increasingly erratic and belligerent. The Ultramarine sensed that the Wolves of Russ did not relish such encounters. The fact that Bringar was so eager to spill the blood of fellow Astartes only caused Cestus greater discomfort. At war with our Legion brothers? The very idea scarcely seemed possible. Yet it was happening. Cestus watched the space battle unfold with curious detachment and felt his sense of foreboding grow. The waning moon had burned its retro engines to kill its speed and fired all thrusters on its underside to twist upwards and present its armoured flank to a second torpedo volley shimmering towards it. The first torpedoes missed high, spiralling past the ship to be lost in the void. A handful detonated early, riddled with massive calibre fragmentation shells from the defence turrets mounted along the flank of the waning moon. Several found their mark just below the stern. Another streaked in with violent force, and then two more amidships. Useless energy shields flared black over the impact points as hull segments spun away from the ship, the torpedoes gouging their way through the outer armour.
"Damage report!" shouted Motep above the din of the bridge. "Negligible, sire,"
Officer Amon answered from the engineering helm.
"What? Minimal hull fractures, my Lord Motep?"
"Sensorium definitely read 4 impacts," confirmed helmsmate Ramket, watching over the readouts.
Embedded deep in the hull of the waning moon, the outer casing of each torpedo split with a superheated incendiary, and 6 smaller missiles drilled out from their parent casing. They were ringed with metallic teeth and bored through the superstructure of the strike cruiser as they spun. Drilling through the last vestiges of the hull armour, the missiles emerged into the belly of the vessel and detonated with a powerful explosive charge. With a deafening foom whoosh of concussive heat pressure, the gun decks were ruined. Ratings and indentured workers died in droves, burned by the intense conflagration. Heaps of shells exploded in the firestorm, throwing lashes of flame and chunks of spiralling shrapnel through the decks. Master Gunner Kaitan was decapitated in the initial barrage, and dozens of gunnery crew met a similar fate as they scrambled for cover as the gun decks became little more than an abattoir of charred corpses and hellish screaming. The waning moon shuddered as explosions tore through its insides. A destructive chain reaction boiled through the upper decks and into crew quarters. Sternwards, detonations, ripped into engineering sections, normally well shielded from direct hits, and ripped plasma conduits free to spew superheated fluid through access tunnels and coolant ducts. Damage control crews, waiting at their muster points to douse fires and seal breaches, were torn asunder by the resultant carnage from amidships. Orderlies at triage posts barely had time to register the pandemonium on the gun decks before the blunt bullet of a warhead thundered through into the Medici deck and annihilated them in a flash of light and terror. Chains of explosions ripped huge chunks out of the waning moon's insides. Like massive charred bite marks, whole sections were reduced to smouldering metal, and hundreds of crewmen were lost to the cold of the void as the vessel's structural integrity broke down.
"Report that," ordered Motep, clinging to his command throne on the bridge as sections of the ship collapsed around him, revealing bare metal and sparking circuitry. The lights around the bridge were stuttered intermittently as the waning registered power loss and damage across all decks. Motep's crew were doing their best to marshal some semblance of order, but the attack had been swift and far-reaching.
"Massive internal and secondary explosions!" replied Officer Ammon, struggling to keep pace with the warning runes dancing madly over the engineering helm and snapping off further reports. "Plasma venting from Reactor 7, gun crews non-responsive, and Medici has taken severe damage."
"Tertiary shielding is breached," said Motep, as the ship-to-ship vox crackled into life.
"Motep, report your status at once. This is Captain Cestus."
The impacts had shaken the vox array, and the Ultramarine's voice was distorted with static.
"We are wounded, Captain," said Motep grimly. "Some kind of mechanicum tech that I have never seen before burned our insides."
"Our lances are firing," Cestus informed him. "Can you stay engaged?"
"Aye, son of Macragg. We're not done yet."
A further crackle of static, and the vox went dead. The bridge of the waning moon was alive with transmissions from the rest of the ship. Some calm, reporting peripheral damage to minor systems, others frantic, from Plasma Reactor 7 and the gun decks, and there were those that were unintelligible through raging fire and screaming, the last words of men and women dying agonizing deaths.
"Be advised, Captain, they are coming about."
Principal Navigator Kronos was eerily calm as his voice came through the internal vox array. Motep scrutinized the tactical holo display above the command console. The Furious Abyss was changing course. It was suffering lance impacts from the Wrathful and was turning to present its heavily armoured prow to the aggressors.
"What folly from this bearer of his word!" Motep intoned. "He thinks we will flee like the jackal. But his only victory is in raising the ire of Prospero. Mr. Kronos, bring us across his bow. Gun decks port and starboard. Prepare for a rolling broadside!"
The waning moon rotated grandly, as if standing on end in front of the Furious Abyss. The word-bearer vessel had not reacted, and its blunt prow faced the damaged strike cruiser. Deep scores like illegible signatures were seared into the prow armour of the traitor's ship by the Wrathful's laser batteries. An insane crosshatch of crimson lance beams erupted between the two vessels with pyrotechnic intensity as they traded blows, silent shield flares indicating absorbed impacts. Errant bursts glittered past the waning moon as it opened up its gun ports, and the snouts of massive ship-to-ship cannon emerged. Behind them, sweat-drenched ratings toiled to load the enormous guns and avenge their dead. They chanted in gun cant to keep their rhythm strong, one refrain for hauling shells out of the hoppers behind them, another for ramming it home, and yet another for hauling the breach closed. The signal to fire reached them from the bridge. The rating gang leaders brought hammers down on firing pins, and inside the ship thunder screamed through the decks. Outside, jets of propellant and debris leapt the gap between the two ships. A split second later, the shells impacted, explosive charges blasting deep craters into the enemy vessel. The bridge of the Furious Abyss stayed calm. Zadkiel was pleased. His ship, the city over which he ruled, was not governed by panic.
"My lord, should we retaliate?" asked helmsmate Sakharov.
"For now, we wait,"
said Zadkiel, content to absorb the punishment as he sat back on the command throne, watching images of the waning moon's assault on the viewscreens above him.
There is nothing they can do to us.
You would have us sit here and take this?
Snarled Reskiel at his master's side.
We will prevail, said Zadkiel, unperturbed.
Dozens of new contacts flared on the viewscreens, streaking from the launch bays of a ship identified as the Boundless.
Assault boat, sire!
Sakharov informed him, monitoring the same feed.
Escorts are closing!
Zadkiel pored over the hololithic display.
They intend to attack from all angles and confuse us. And while we weather this storm, their assault boats and escorts will pick us apart.
Zadkiel provided the curt tactical analysis coldly, his face aglow in the display.
What is our response? Asked Reskiel.
We wait.
That's it?
We wait, repeated Zadkiel, his voice like iron. Trust in the word.
Reskiel stood back, watching the fire hammering in from the waning moon and listening to the dull thuds of explosions from within the Furious's prow. The attack craft wing of the Boundless swept in tight formation through the veil of debris, building up from the damage to the two ships ahead of them. The waning moon and the Furious Abyss were locked in the spiral dance, the long, painful embrace that saw one ship circle another, pumping broadsides into the enemy as it spun. Like everything else in space, the spiral dance had its own mythology, and to a lifelong pilot of the Saturnine fleet, it meant inevitable doom and the spite of one ship lashing out at the enemy in its death throes. It was desperation and tragedy, like a dying romance or a last stand against vast odds. The fighters, 10-man craft loaded with short-range rockets and cannon, streaked past the waning moon, the pilots saluting their fellow ship as custom dictated. They locked on to the Furious Abyss, the squadron leaders marking out targets on the immense dark red hull, already pocked with lance scars and broadside craters from the battering the Wrathful had given it. Shield housings, sensor clustings and exhaust vents all lit up on the tactical display in a backwash of emerald light. Targeting cogitators locked on and burned red. Silver III, flown by pilot second class Carnegie Thal, matched assigned approach vectors and built to full attack run speed. Through the shallow forward view screen, Thal could see the Furious Abyss crisscrossed by laser battery barrage, its prow a flickering mass of smouldering metal. He ordered his weapons officers to lock onto their target, a stretch of gun turrets along the Furious's dorsal spine. The port guns obeyed, the las cannon mounts swiveling into position. The starboard guns did not move. Pilot Thal repeated his order through the ship's vox. His co-pilot, Rugel, checked the array but found nothing amiss.
Rugel, go down to the armaments deck and align those guns, Thal ordered, deciding there was enough time before they hit their final approach vector.
The co-pilot nodded and tore out the wires attaching him to his seat and the console in front of him and swung around in his chair.
Skell, what are you doing?
Thal heard his co-pilot ask and turned to get a good look at what was going on. He started when he saw Weapons Officer Karina Skell standing there with her auto-pistol in her hand. Thal was about to tell her to get back to her post and get the damn cannons locked on when Skell shot him in the face. She took Rugel in the chest, stepping forward to deliver the shot point blank. Bleeding badly, the co-pilot scrabbled to get his sidearm out of his holster.
It is written, Skell said,
and shot him twice more in the head. Silver III continued on its attack vector. Skell headed below decks to finish her work.
Silver III down,
said Officer Artemis on the fighter control deck of the Boundless. The deck ran almost a third of the length of the Boundless to accommodate the numerous tactical consoles. Captain Vorloff, his face awash in the reflected ochre glow of data screens, paid it little heed as he prowled the ranks of fighter controllers. Attack craft were always lost. It was the way of the void. Vorloff continued his tour, preferring to witness firsthand the actions of his fighters rather than make do with the fragmented reports filtering through to the bridge. The Boundless was a dedicated carrier for attack craft, and his duties were here, listening to the fates of his fighter wings. His helm's mate was perfectly capable of keeping the ship running in his absence.
Any defense fire?
Asked Vorloff of the nearest control overseer.
None yet,
said the overseer, whose shaved scalp was festooned with wires, feeding information from each controller into her brain.
But we're in range of their countermeasures, said Vorloff, a thought occurring to him. You, what took down Silver Three?
The controller looked up from his screen.
Unknown. The pilot went off my screen. Possible crew casualties. Non-standard transmissions from Gold 9,
said another controller, hunched over his screen. He held one of his earphones tight against his head and winced as he tried to hear more clearly.
Some kind of commotion aboard ship, sire. They're not responding to protocols.
Bring them in. The rest of you report any further anomalies.
Vorloff harrumphed in annoyance and leaned forward on his cane. The Saturnine fleet had the best small craft pilots this side of the Galactic Center. They didn't just flake out during a firefight.
Gold 9 is lost, Captain, reported the controller. I detected small arms fire in the cockpit.
Get me word on what the hell's going on, or I'll have your commission,
barked Vorloff at the overseer.
Yes, Captain.
Fragmented reports are coming in from Silver Prime,
interrupted yet another controller.
They say they've lost control of the engine crew. Get all this on air,
shouted Vorloff. The overseer fiddled with a couple of settings, and cockpit transmissions crackled through the deck's foxcaster.
Gone insane! He's barricaded himself in the aft quarters. Esau's dead, and he's venting the bloody air. I'm pulling out from attack vectors and going down there to shoot him.
I am the light that shines always. I am the Lord of the Dawn. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Word.
Ah! I'm bleeding out! Harold's dead, but I'm not gonna make it!
Gold 12 just opened fire on us. We're hit afterwards, pulling back and venting Engine 3!
Vorloff was assailed by the desperate voices and distorted screams, dozens of them, all from experienced assault pilots, all tinged with fear or disbelief or pain. Reports of colleagues sabotaging engines or murdering crew, ranting paranoia and delusion, spewed forth from the Vox. Vorloff couldn't believe what he was hearing. His wings were in total disarray, and the glorious attack run he had envisaged had failed utterly without the enemy firing off a shot. He had never even read about such a thing in the histories of the Saturnine fleet.
"It's as if they're going mad, Captain," said the overseer, struggling to keep her voice level. "Every one of them."
"Abort!" shouted Vorloff. "All wings, abort attack run and return to the Boundless."
"We are successful, Lord," the sibilant voice of Chaplain Ichthalon said through the Vox array. "The supplicants have effectively neutralized their fighter assaults."
"You are to be commended, Chaplain. Ours is a divine purpose, and you have ensured your name will be remembered in the scriptures of Lorgar,"
Zadkiel replied coldly from the command throne, before turning to address helmsmate Sakharov.
"Let the escort craft close and then open the book."
"Yes, my lord," Sakharov relayed the order at once. Zadkiel watched a close-up of the sector of space through which the Boundless's attack wings were flying. Fighters were already tumbling, glittering short-lived explosions as their colleagues shot them down. Others were spiralling off course. The pathetic assault was in ruins.
"Behold," Zadkiel said to his second, standing alongside him, "the power of the word, Reskiel."
"It is indeed humbling," Reskiel replied, bowing deeply to his lord.
Zadkiel found the obvious toadying distasteful. Even so, this was a great moment, and he allowed himself to bask in it before returning to the Vox.
"Ichthalon, how many supplicants did we lose?"
3, Lord Zadkiel," the chaplain replied. "The weakest."
"Keep me appraised."
"As you wish,"
Ichthalon said, and terminated the link. Zadkiel ignored the impudence and sat back in his command throne to watch the damage control reports flicker by. The prow was mangled, chewed up by the waning moon's broadsides and torn by the lances of the Wrathful. But the prow was merely armour-plating and empty space. It didn't matter. It could soak up everything they could throw at it for hours before the shells penetrated live decks. Even then, only Legion menials would perish. The unaugmented humans pledged to die for Lorgar.
"This is the Fireblade,"
came the transmission intercepted by the Furious Abyss's advanced sensorium from one of the approaching escort ships.
"We've got a clear run. Lances to full."
"On your tail, Fireblade,"
came the reply from a second frigate.
"Master Malforian,
"Bring turrets to bear and reload ordnance," said Zadkiel. He followed the blips of the escorts as they negotiated the graveyard of fighter craft, intent on helping the waning moon finish off the Furious. Zadkiel allowed himself a thin smile.
"The fighters are lost," said Vorlov.
His face was ruddy with frustration as it glowered out of the viewscreen on the bridge of the Wrathful. Almost to a man, the crewmen of the ship were watching Captain Vorlov's report of the total failure of the attack run.
"What, all of them?"
asked Admiral Kaminska.
20% are en route back to the Boundless," said Vorlov. "The rest are gone. Our crews turned on each other."
"You think this was a psychic attack, Captain?" asked Cestus, suddenly glad that Bryngar was off the bridge.
"Yes, Lord, I do,"
Vorlov breathed, fear edging his voice. This was a worrying development. All the legions knew full well what had been decided on Nykaia and the censure imposed by the Emperor on dabbling in the infernal powers of the warp and the use of sorcery. The Ultramarine turned to Admiral Kaminska.
"What of our remaining escorts?"
"Captain Ulargo on the Fireblade is leading them in," she replied. "No problem so far."
Cestus nodded, processing everything unfolding on the bridge.
"Maintain lance barrage from the Wrathful and the Waning Moon. Captain Vorlov, add the Boundlesses from distance and let the escorts engage. No ship, however massive, can withstand such a concentrated assault."
"At your command, my lord,"
Vorlov returned. Cestus turned to regard Kaminska seething at a command throne.
"As you wish, Captain,"
she responded coolly. The Fireblade stitched the first volleys of lance fire down against the upper hull of the Furious Abyss. It had nothing like the firepower of the fleet's cruisers, but up close it could pick its targets, and each lance fired independently to blast off hull plates and sheer turrets from their emplacements with fat bursts. Defensive guns retaliated in kind, and shots blistered against the Fireblade's shields, some making it through to the escort's dark green hull. The Fireblade twisted out of arcs of fire and sent a chain of incendiaries hammering down into the dorsal turret arrays. Silent explosions blossomed and were swallowed by the void, leaving glittering sprays of wreckage like silver fountains. The Fireblade's hull was resplendent with kill markings and battle honours. It had done this many times before. It was small, but it was agile and packed a harder punch than its size suggested. Behind it was the Ferox, its younger sister ship, using the heat signatures of the Fireblade strikes to throw bombs and las blasts through the tears opened up in the upper hull. The Fireblade finished its first run and corkscrewed up over the Furious's engine housings, letting the heat wash of the battleship's engines lend a hand in catapulting it voidwards before it lined up for another pass. Below the two escorts, the last of the squadron, now just the Ferocious with the dramatic and sudden demise of the Fearless, was making its run along the underside of the massive vessel, pouring destruction into the ventral turrets. All three remaining escorts came under fierce fire, but their shields and hull armour held, their speed too great to allow a significant number of defensive turrets to bear at once and combine their efforts. Captain Ulargo, at the helm of the Fireblade, commented to his fellow escort captains that the word-bearers appeared to want to die. Another broadside thundered from the waning moon as the strike cruiser turned elegantly, keeping level with the Furious Abyss's prow. The void was sucking fire out of the prow, so it looked like the head of a fire-breathing monster made of smouldering metal. The enormous book that served as the ship's figurehead was intact. Slowly, silently, the metal book cracked open and folded outwards. The massive bore of a gun emerged from behind it. The end of the barrel glowed red as reactors towards the rear of the ship opened up plasma conduits to the prow and the weapon's capacitors filled. Licks of blue flame ran over the ruined prow, ignited by the sheer force of the building energy. The prow cannon fired. A white beam leapt from the Furious Abyss. At the same time, thrusters kicked in, rotating the Furious a couple of degrees so that the short-lived beam played across the void in front of it. It struck the waning moon, just four of the engines. Vaporized metal formed a billowing white cloud, like steam, condensing into a silver shower of re-solidified matter. Secondary explosions led the beam as it scored across the strike cruiser's hull until finally it was lost in the shower of debris and vapour as its energy expended and the glowing barrel began to cool down in the vacuum. Further explosions rippled across the waning moon in the wake of the crippling barrage, and the rear third of the strike cruiser was sheared clean off.